Maundy Thursday greetings. This day is often commemorated with the sharing of the Lord's Supper and in some congregations with foot washing. And so it's odd that we're celebrating this day in such a disconnected, disembodied fashion. Yet we gather around God's word of life, trusting that Christ is present with us as we hear and act on this word, loving one another as he has loved us. Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts and give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." A reading from 1 Corinthians. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The Holy Gospel according to John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was about to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you." Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a dual focus on Maundy Thursday. In part, we focus on Jesus' washing of his disciples' feet and his insisting that they love one another. We also focus on Paul's words to the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper. Those words seem so familiar, and yet they are sad for me to hear and to speak at this time. I use these words each time I preside at Holy Communion, yet for almost a month now I haven't presided at Holy Communion. We are not physically present to share this sacrament together. Now, perhaps to Christians today or from ages past who are or who were used to celebrating this sacrament monthly or quarterly or yearly, maybe nothing would or should seem amiss. But we have been blessed to be able to share this sacrament pretty much every time we gather as the church. How fortunate we have been, yet how we miss this sacrament now when we cannot safely partake. For Paul's church at Corinth, Paul's words were a harsh reminder. It seems the Corinthians had been mistreating one another and misusing the Lord's Supper. In their culture at that time, meals and banquets were a chance to reinforce the social pecking order. The table was the place where those with honor made a big show of their high status and where those without honor were reminded of their lowly status. Paul writes in this section of 1 Corinthians that he has heard reports that the Corinthian believers had started turning the Lord's Supper into yet another of these social banquets. Basically, what seems to have been happening is the wealthy members of the church who had more time for leisure gathered on their own without the poorer members who had to work. And the rich ones would eat more than their fair share of the bread, and they would get drunk on the wine. They failed to welcome the lowlier members of the community to the meal. And that's the context into which Paul invoked these words, words of Jesus passed on directly from the Lord to Paul. Paul reminds the Corinthians that every time they gather, they are reformed into the body of Christ. They are there, he reminded them, to do more than merely eat or drink. Their gathering was to bear witness to a new reality, a new way of being. They are there to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What might these words mean for us this day? What about those of us who are unable to gather at the table, even as we long to do so? For us at this unusual time, our refraining from gathering still bears witness to Christ. In not gathering, we nonetheless proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In fact, at this time, we bear witness to Jesus' own passion and suffering on our behalf. We remember Jesus' words during his Last Supper with his disciples. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. We join with Christ in his suffering in a new and significant way as we refrain from gathering together. We lay down a part of our life for the sake of one another. In the same way, Jesus put aside his own desires and needs and thought of others in great love. So now it is our hour to put aside our needs, our earnest longings to be together at the table of the Lord. Our not eating, our not drinking together at this time actually offers life and strength to our weakest members. For Paul and his community, the right thing to do was to wait for one another and truly share the supper. For us, the right thing to do seems to be to endure a fast from this meal we love and share so that we honor and safeguard one another. Remember the words of Jesus spoken to his disciples about hardships they would face from Luke 21:19, "By our endurance, we will gain our souls." Thanks be to God that Holy Communion is for us a means of grace. And thanks be to God, it is not the only means of grace. We still share in the Word together each time we read Scripture and do Bible study and share these sermons. And we still live together in the gift of holy baptism. So these means of grace sustain us even as we fast from the meal we cherish. As I mentioned at the start of this sermon, there is a second focus for us on Maundy Thursday. It's related. It's the focus on Jesus' commandment to his disciples on their last night together. This new commandment. In fact, the Latin phrase for new commandment, mandatum novum, is where we get the word Maundy from. This is Maundy Thursday, mandatum Thursday, commandment Thursday. Jesus tells his disciples they are to love one another. Taken on its own, this is hardly a new commandment. This has been the heart of the law of God since the very beginning. Remember how Jesus summed up all the law and the prophets: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. But what makes his commandment new is that Jesus adds this phrase, "You are to love one another as I have loved you." No longer is the measure of our love loving as we see fit. It's not love as best you can or love up to a point. Now the measure is Christ's own love for us. He humbled himself. He deprived himself. He emptied himself. He handed himself over. He stopped at nothing to love his disciples, even Judas who betrayed him, even Peter who denied him. John tells us he loved his own to the end. Literally to the end of the story, to the end of his life, but also to the end in a philosophical sense. He loved them to completion, to fulfillment. Jesus' love is our new measure of how we are to love one another. And this time of distancing and sacrifice is helping us to learn new ways to show love for one another. Oddly, at this time, that love means being apart from each other. But it also means gathering as we will on Sunday for parking lot worship. This is certainly a first for me, but I'm so looking forward to seeing all of your faces again, even if through car glass. Loving each other as Jesus loves us helps us to be creative in doing audio worship, in mailing sermons to those who don't use the internet, in coming up with new ways to study God's word together. Jesus is with us, leading us always into deeper love for one another. Let us keep on loving one another through this difficult time and to the end, to the last, to completion. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.